Well, good morning again. Now, I do want to start the sermon this morning with just a quick survey. Is that all right? Okay, you ready? By a show of hands, who in here feels like they're in a really good relationship? Somewhere in your life, like with a friend, with a spouse, maybe your coworkers. All right, I see some hands up there. Hands down. Now, how many of you, though having some really good relationships, how many of you would say that it is perfect? A perfect relationship. Is there anybody that would say that? No. I don't see a lot of hands out there, okay? Because you know what? Despite us having like maybe the best friend in the world, or maybe the best boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife in the world that you're like over the moon for, or even maybe the boss or the coworkers that you just love, despite all of that, few of us would deem those relationships as perfect. And even if they are, and even if you could, for a little while, keeping it that way, that's a challenge, right? Now listen, this morning, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, okay? But perfect relationships simply don't exist this side of heaven. And guess what? That's okay. That's okay because everyday, ordinary relationships, they just aren't perfect. And that is because of one primary reason. We live in a broken world. We currently live in a broken world. And thus, a lot of imperfection creeps into our relationships due to things like outside forces that we oftentimes don't even have any control over. You know, some of which may be things like financial situations or current cultural events or even other people's expectations of us. And then there are things like social media influences, right? And oh, by the way, if you don't know it, there's also us. There's you. There's me. There is us in these relationships. What I'm saying is there is humanity in these relationships and our own sin and sometimes that selfish, that sinful nature that dwells inside of us, it creeps out if left unchecked, meaning unsurrendered to the Lord. It creeps out and influences our relationships. So the truth is this, we would have to like live under a rock somewhere, okay? We would have to avoid the influences, to avoid the chaos of the broken world around us and the brokenness within us all the time. Now, with that said, as a pastor, I get the privilege to officiate weddings on a somewhat regular basis. And as I prepare the couple for the wedding, one of the things that I try to communicate is that their marriage, like all marriages, will go through the fire. Meaning that there will be attacks from within the individuals in that marriage, in that relationship, and maybe from within the home. And then also there will be attacks from outside of the home. And I try to tell these couples, and I'm telling you today regarding relationships in general, that these things are sure to put your pledges to one another to the test. And that it is only by remaining faithful to one another within the relationship and to God and faithful to his ways that we can pass these tests and in fact shine like the gold of a new wedding ring. And I let these couples know, and I'm letting you know today that the imperfections in our relationships, they actually have the ability to do something. And it's something you might not think right off the top of your head. These imperfections in our relationships, they actually have the ability to strengthen us if we allow them to. We just need to approach them with the right perspective. We need to approach them with the right attitude. All of that to say this, imperfection and challenges and stress, they are a part of every aspect of a relationship, and it's normal, it's ordinary. And so with that said, here's the truth, okay? It's how. Can you say how? It's how we navigate these challenges that can turn an ordinary relationship into something extraordinary. And today what we're going to discover and explore a little bit is some of that how. Now, with all that said, we're in the middle of this Advent series, which we've been looking at all the ways that God uses these ordinary aspects of our lives to accomplish the extraordinary. We're identifying the seemingly ordinary moments in the Christmas story to emphasize this reality in our own lives. So in week one, we acknowledge that God works through our ordinary jobs. And then last week, we explored how he works through ordinary places, right? To also accomplish the extraordinary and his extraordinary will. So today, you probably could guess it. We're going to look at how he does this through people, ordinary people, and through our relationships as ordinary people with one another. Now, with that said, the most dominant human relationship in the story of Christ's birth is Mary and Joseph. And guess what? By all cultural standards, their relationship was incredibly ordinary. And though we might expect that if God was going to send his son down to the earth to be born within a human family, we might expect that he would choose a royal or a wealthy family. But God chose an ordinary young couple who are engaged to be married, to which we might think, couldn't he at least choose a married couple? Though engagement then, just so you know, was as good as being married pretty much. But in saying that, what makes this couple and this relationship extraordinary is how. It's the how again. It's how they navigate both the struggles and the challenges that come their way. So with that, let's now dive into the chaos of their lives and that which they faced. It's in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. It will be on the screen, or you can get there in your Bible, Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus. Now, as we speak about how ordinary Mary and Joseph were, we need to pause for just a moment, okay? We need to pause for a moment to cover how truly ordinary Mary was. And in saying that, our preaching team came across this remarkable teaching. It's from Tara Lee Cobble, from the Bible Recap, if you're familiar with that. And this is something we just want to share with you this morning. So check out this screen quick.
Scripture absolutely teaches the virgin birth, but Scripture does not teach the Immaculate Conception. I used to think those two phrases were linked and that they both referred to the conception and birth of Jesus. But the phrase Immaculate Conception is nowhere in Scripture, and it was actually created in reference to Mary and the belief that she was conceived and was sinless throughout her life. Some faith traditions believe this, despite the fact that, as we'll see, Scripture not only doesn't say that, but actually indicates otherwise. Some faith traditions also believe Mary remained a virgin her whole life, which is why they often refer to her as the Virgin Mary, even though Matthew tells us twice today, in verses 18 and 25, that she and her husband Joseph had sex after Jesus was born. So yes, Scripture definitely teaches the virgin birth. She was definitely a virgin when Jesus was born. But her other 7+ children, who we'll meet later, were conceived normally, not supernaturally. Mary herself had no divinity or perfection. She was a regular human, which is one of the things that makes this story so remarkable. Scripture absolutely.
Oopsie. So what that communicates is this. Mary was ordinary. Mary was ordinary, and Joseph was ordinary. And they were in an ordinary relationship. So let's look at some of the reasons why the circumstances of the scenario that we read from Matthew 1, why that could have been disastrous to both Mary and Joseph. So one is this. They weren't even married yet. They weren't even married yet when this happened. That could cause some trouble, right? Second, it was an arranged marriage. So in saying that, we don't even know how they truly felt about one another. Third, this clearly looks like Mary had an affair, right? Leaving Joseph with every right to run from this relationship. And the death penalty, just so you know, would have been appropriate for Mary, resulting in number four, this having and bringing both disgrace and shame to each of their families. So there was a lot of challenge. There was a lot to lose. And in that moment, the loss would have far exceeded anything good by staying together. So why stay? Why continue in their relationship? I mean, the ordinary, the expected outcome was separation, which leads us to an interesting point this morning that I want to point out. Ordinary equals predictable. Ordinary equals predictable. So how about for us? What can this mean for us? What can this mean for our ordinary relationships today, full of their own challenges? Well, think for a second about relationships at work, maybe. I think one of the most common issues at workplaces is gossip. And so when someone is gossiping about someone else at work, what do you do? What do you do? Now, the common and the predictable thing is to join right in, isn't it? Or to maybe just ignore it altogether, to brush it under the rug, if you will. That's ordinary. We'll talk about extraordinary in a bit, but that's ordinary. That's our ordinary response. Let's talk now about friendships for a second. As an example, you know, maybe your friend is complaining to you all the time about their parents or their family or something, but you know them enough to know that they might be a part of the problem. Anybody know anybody like that? Don't nudge anybody. Into that, I'm telling you what, the predictable, the easy thing to do is just agree with them, right? Thus enabling them to keep up their toxic behavior and the toxic relationship that they maybe have with their family. That's normal. That's predictable. That's a normal and predictable response. Or think for a second about spouses, right? You know, maybe your spouse is struggling with something. I don't know what that something could be. Fill in the blank. Maybe they're struggling with an addiction of some sort. The predictable, the ordinary thing to do is to spout off, right? The predictable, the ordinary thing to do is to ignore it. The predictable, ordinary thing to do is to kick them to the curb. The predictable, ordinary thing to do is to divorce them. And while these responses in these relationships, while they may be common, they are anything but helpful, really, many times, for you and or for the individuals involved. So to summarize, church, the ordinary, the predictable outcome for these examples, as well as the situation for Mary and Joseph, is to give up. It's to separate. It's to leave behind. But as the passage continued, this is not how the story went, right? I mean, first of all, we see the respect. We see the honor that Joseph had for Mary. And while we do not know him well, the fact that he doesn't want to expose her to public disgrace, that shows that he is compassionate. That shows that he is a God-fearing, caring Jew. The fact that Joseph had been contemplating leaving Mary quietly, that implies all of that. It implies that Mary even trusted Joseph enough to even tell him what was up. He just wasn't ready to believe her part of it. He wasn't ready to believe her yet. However, then as we read, Joseph had what? He had a supernatural experience of his own. Similar but different than Mary had earlier. For an angel of the Lord steps in to give Joseph the confidence and the faith that he needs to move forward and to trust. Therefore, demonstrating to us today this, that God's supernatural influence can shift the ordinary into the extraordinary. It did so for Joseph, and it can for you. It can for me today still. But how does this look for us? How does it look for us? How does this happen for you and I? Because we most likely aren't having dreams and visions of miracles. Now, we might be, right? But this all probably looks a bit different for each of us. And so you may think that, you know, even as a follower of Jesus, your life, maybe you sit there and maybe you think, you know what? My life is so mundane. My life is so ordinary. My life is so predictable. Maybe you sit there thinking that this morning, and truth be told, I feel that way myself at times. I mean, I get up each morning, I take the dog out, I feed the cats, I hit the shower, I head to the office, I come home later in the day, I eat, I chill out, I do some chores, and I'm back at it again in the morning. So you may feel like your life is ordinary and mundane, but this story, church, that we are reading about, in the ordinary lives, full of their challenges, full of their struggles, for Mary and Joseph, it leads us to the ultimate supernatural power and presence that we can have access to through the Holy Spirit of God each and every day and in the struggle even. And the angel tells Joseph exactly that. I don't know if you saw it, but look at verse 23, Matthew 1, 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what, church? God with us. So God was soon to be with them physically, yes. But that is just the beginning. That is just the beginning of this beautiful story of the love of God for you and for me and for all. That is just the beginning of the story, because then, years later, this Jesus would eventually die. He would eventually die on a cross, defeating death by rising again to then leave his very spirit to live and to dwell within us as believers. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with each and every one of you. But anyway, as the Bible account continues, Joseph wakes up from his dream and he decides to continue with the relationship with Mary. And in that, what we see is we see him trust. We see him trust that the Lord and his ways are better. Better than what? Better than what's common. Better than what's predictable. Because in this moment of decision, we see Joseph do the unpredictable. And do you know what? The extraordinary equals the unpredictable. In your moments of decision, church, in your moments of decision surrounding relationships, which route do you go? Which way do you go? Do you go to the predictable, the common? Things like unforgiveness, things like separation, things like backbiting? Or do you go to the unpredictable, which leads to the extraordinary? Do you go to things like forgiveness? Do you go to things like understanding? Do you go to things like listening? Do you go to things like a little bit of give and take, just to name a few, all leading to things like reconciliation and healing and the extraordinary? That's where it lives. It lives there. It lives in those spaces, in the unexpected. You see, through Joseph's supernatural experience with God, he moves. That's what he does. He moves from doing what was expected. He moves from doing what was ordinary. He moves from doing what was predictable. He moves from doing what was even culturally acceptable by all accounts, but he moves. He moves to where? He moves to the unpredictable. What influences are you really, in all reality, this is a serious question. What influence are you allowing the Holy Spirit to have in your life? What influence are you allowing the Holy Spirit of God, this supernatural power that he's given us, what are we allowing it to have influence in our lives? I mean, if Mary and Joseph, okay, if they had allowed culture and social norms to determine their outcome, then the prophecies would not have come to pass through them. But it was their persistence, you see. It was their persistence through the challenge. It was their persistence through the troubling circumstances that helped to pave the way for the redemption of the very world, Jesus Christ. And for Jesus to be with them, Emmanuel, which resulted in Jesus being able to be with us, with you and I, Emmanuel. And just as the Holy Spirit guided and directed Mary and Joseph, he gives you and I, he gives us insight, he gives us the wisdom, he gives us the discernment to change how we face other people in this world and in our relationships, including at work, at school, in our marriages, regarding the relationships of such and all other relationships as well that we find ourselves in. And so, church, when culture and when even our initial and our best own thinking tells us to run or to give up, he empowers us. He empowers you and I to see the bigger picture. Thus, we need to commit. We need to trust that God's ways are better. They're just better. Because when it would be easy to give up, when it be easy to break up, whatever you want to say, when it would be easy to run away through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can press on. We can press on into the extraordinary. So ask yourself today, how is God using you in your relationships? Ask yourself that. And ask yourself, how can you move from the ordinary into the extraordinary, from the predictable into the unpredictable? And ask yourself, answering honestly, are you participating with the Holy Spirit of God as he is with you and in you? Which could look like things like this, like rather than participating in the gossip at work, maybe you do the unpredictable. Maybe you choose to not join in. Maybe you choose to even call it out. You could simply say something like, you know what? I don't know enough about this situation to chime in. That kind of shuts it down. Or it could look like instead of you enabling your friend's toxic relationship with their family, maybe you could do the unpredictable. Maybe you could ask them if they'd like to talk about it in more detail over coffee or something, to where eventually you lead to lovingly ask them to consider their part in this toxicity. That's a tough word. But you could ask them, what is your role maybe? Maybe you could lovingly ask them that. Or it could look like you maybe, you know, instead of kicking out your spouse for struggling with whatever addiction that is, it could maybe look like asking them to sit down to talk about it, right? To ask how you could be an agent to help them in healing. To ask them, what would they have you do if they were you? All that I'm saying, church, is in all of this, if we did more of the unpredictable, if we did more of what God calls us to, it would change things. And I want us to remember, God is with us. He's with us in our relationships. Now, with that said, as we near a close, I just want to acknowledge something, okay? I want to acknowledge that relationships, they are complicated, really complicated. And you may find yourself in one that you do need to walk away from. You know, like perhaps maybe with your employment. Maybe it's causing you more harm than good. I would warn you to be careful about that because There's no perfect job, okay? There's no perfect coworkers out there. But it may be time for you to find something new, to find something different. Or maybe you find yourself being influenced negatively by your friends more than you're influencing them positively. So it may be time to move on. Or maybe in your significant other relationship, maybe it is abusive. Maybe it is, and I'm sorry about that. So maybe you do need to get out. And into all of that, I want you to know that you're not alone, okay? You're not alone. Others know. Others have experienced the pain of such situations. And you're not alone because the Lord knows. And he is where he is with you. As we consider this story of Mary Joseph again, and the several other stories that make up the account of the Christmas story in Jesus, we see them being given supernatural and seemingly extraordinary guidance. And a lot of times in the Christmas story, it's by angels, right? And so you or I, we may be thinking, man, I sure do wish an angel would tell me what to do. And I get that. I get that desire. But bigger picture, what the birth of Jesus points to is the fact that we aren't alone. We're not alone, and that God will communicate with us. And although, you know, angels may come, although that might happen and speak to you, what that means is we're not dependent upon them. Because guess what? We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of Jesus who lives inside of us and who will speak. He will speak as our supernatural influence. And oh, by the way, we have this. We have the Bible, which God speaks through. And we also have one another. We have the church through whom he speaks. He speaks here in our larger gatherings. He speaks in your more personal relationships with one another. Point being, church, we're not alone. We're not alone. Because as we've stated, through the birth, through the death of Jesus, his Spirit came. The Son of God sent the Spirit, so God is with us. And remember, as we stated earlier, God's supernatural influence, it can shift. It can shift the ordinary into the extraordinary. Now, with that said, Mary and Joseph, I got to tell you, they probably felt pretty isolated throughout her pregnancy, with most of their family likely doubting, the community wouldn't have understood. So they would have felt pretty alone, but in their case, God used angels to speak to them and to clarify their calling. And you too, you may feel alone in your life. You may feel alone in your struggles, even in regard to relationships. But I want you to know, church, I want you to know, even if you are struggling with how to discern when the Holy Spirit is speaking, what the Holy Spirit is telling you, the body of Christ, the church, is here. Use us. Talk to me. Talk to others. Tap into some of our healing ministries. Because I'll tell you what, many times the Holy Spirit speaks through other people. Just don't isolate. And don't, I'm sorry to say this, this isn't meant to hurt anybody, but don't stay in your own little pity party. And don't buy the lie that culture and our spiritual enemy, the devil, wants us to believe. Don't buy the lie that we should be able to figure this all out and fix this all ourselves. That just isn't how God designed things. That's not how this whole thing works. We've always needed community. Ever since the creation, God has provided community. Use it. Tap in. We have access to all those kind of things here at Revive. And in closing, I just want to confess something. I want to admit something, that the complicated dynamics of personal relationships, they may be heightened even more here in the Christmas season. The Christmas season where we're around people that maybe it's hard to be. And we want you to know that struggle is real, that struggle is okay. But we want you to know you're not alone unless you choose to be. So seek counseling, seek guidance, seek me, seek the Holy Spirit. Just know that you're not alone. With that said, I just want to invite the communion servers forward. I want to invite Nancy forward. And in closing, I just want us to know that God is with us. He's with us in our relationships. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, You need to know this morning that God is in you, which is meant to change everything, everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just we thank you for this time that we've been able to be together in your space to hear your word, to contemplate this story, this account of Mary and Joseph. And Lord, how in so many ways Joseph did what was unpredictable. And he did that in obedience to you. And many of these things we talked about today, like forgiveness and seeking healing and reconciliation, they aren't the predictable thing today. But Lord, you call us to these things, and Lord, your Holy Spirit is there to help us in them. So Lord, would you help us as we navigate our relationships? I don't know what everybody in here is thinking when they think of a challenging relationship, but you are still there. You are still in that relationship. So guide them and protect them. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.